Okay, a good Erev Shabbos. Today we're going to talk about Parshas Bamidbar, and the topic for today's shiur is ownership versus stewardship. That there's two different ways that one could be involved with things. You could be an owner, you own something, and that gives you every kind of right over it, or you could be a steward, you could be a shomer. So what we're going to talk about today is the idea that the things that we have, including our own body, is something that is not for us to own. Rather, we're shomerim, we're stewards. We are like it says about Adam Arishan, In Gan Eden, it was la'avda v'lishamra. It was his job to watch Gan Eden and to work it. So we are stewards and we are not owners. And let's talk about how that fits into the parsha and what some of the mefarsha mentioned. So you know, in this week's parsha, we talk about counting the Bnei Yisrael, and the Ramban. Ramban gets into a discussion as to there's some background noise. Hold on a second. The Ramban gets into a discussion about what was the chait of David HaMelech who counted the Bnei Yisrael. Those of you who are familiar with Tanakh know the story, but some might not. And we actually mention it two times a week in davening. It's mentioned in Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Dalet, I believe, and in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, that David HaMelech had a thought in his head to count his subjects, to count the Jewish people, and Yoav, his general, advised him against it. He said it's an Avera to count the Jewish people, and David insisted, and he counted the Jewish people, and then there was a terrible rebuke that came from God, the Navi, to David, and the message was, you can choose from one of three terrible punishments to befall the Jewish people. Either there will be a plague, or there will be a famine, or there will be enemies coming into the land for a period of time. So David answers, and this you might recognize as the opening verse in Tachnun, Vayomer David al God. David said to God Hanavi, Tzar li ma'od, it's very distressing to me. However, he says, Nepsol biyad Hashem, I would rather fall in the hands of Hashem, right, v'lo biyad Adam, and not in the hands of man. And therefore, David basically was saying, I'd rather have a plague, because a plague comes completely from Hashem. But obviously, invading enemies would be humans who don't have rachamim, who don't have the same mercy. And even a famine, the Mefarshim say that a famine also, the richer have more access to things, and some people have food and they won't share it with others. So again, it's dependent on people. So David says, Niplo b'yad Hashem ki rabim rachamov, I'd rather fall in Hashem's hands. Anyway, that's what happens. There's a whole story there. But the point is, David HaMelech did a terrible sin in counting the Jewish people, and a great plague befell them, as it says in Kisisef, lo yiyeh bohem negef bifkodosam, that when you count the Jewish people, if you don't use the shekalim, if you don't use the machzus ha-shekel to count for a kapara, for who knows exactly what it's for, but it forestalls a plague coming from counting. Now the Ramban has a difficulty with this. The Ramban finds it hard to believe that the sin that David did was not using a shekel to count the Jewish people. First of all, he says, how could David not know Beferish Pasuk Chumash? As we said, it says in Shemos Lamed Perikid Beis, Lo Yembo Negev, Bifkod Hosam. And also, there's a number of psukim, if you look in Divrei Hayamim, as I mentioned, or if you look in Melachim, where it's very clear that Yoav disagrees with David's request, and because he's a melech, he grudgingly follows the request, but he actually, on the side, doesn't fully follow his request. So, for example, it mentions that he didn't count Shevet Levi, and he didn't count Shevet Binyamin. Shevet Levi didn't count because he had an excuse, because, as we said in this week's parasha, we say, lo hospoktu, the Shevet Levi was not counted amongst the Jews, so Yoav had an excuse that it wasn't Moreb Malchus. If David would have challenged him, why didn't you count all the Jewish people, including Shevet Levi? He would say, I assumed it was a standing order, we don't count Shevet Levi. So he had an excuse, and he held back from counting Shevet Levi. And then also Binyamin, because Binyamin was as a result of the incident of Plegish Begiva, they were a very small number. And so he had an excuse also to say, maybe there's no need to count them, or something along those lines. The point is that Yoav could have surreptitiously used Shkalim. He certainly showed initiative in being able to somewhat passive-aggressively work around David's orders. So he could have done another thing. He could have used Shkalim. So the Ramban says it cannot be that David HaMelech's chet was in not using Shkalim and counting Jewish people. And the Ramban mentions a much more subtle avera. And this is what he says. This is how we get to the main focus of today's Dvar Torah. He says, Aval kafi daiti, but according to my thought, haya ketzef olav, the anger on David, bavur shemonam shelo letzarech. He counted the Jewish people for no reason. Ki lo ha'ayot shel mechama, v'loos ben David be'yisahi. They were not going to war, and there was no reason to count the Jewish people. Okay, so there's no reason to count the Jewish people. Why is it such a terrible avera? Why is it such a problem? So the Ramban says he only counted rak lismach libo, only for his own gladdening of his heart, shamolach al amrav, to feel good that he was the king over a multitude of people. This is such a terrible avera. The Ramban says it's a terrible avera that David HaMelech counted them for no reason, only for his own aggrandizement. So we have to understand this more deeply, because, indeed, it may not be the best thing in the world. And maybe there's a little gaiva over here. But would we say if David HaMelech was strolling through his palace and he looked and saw how beautiful his palace is, he wouldn't say, oh, how beautiful my palace is. So if he wants to enjoy the fact that he's king over all these people, is that such a crime? But apparently it is. And I think this touches on the concept that I started out with, which is that there's an idea of ownership and there's an idea of stewardship. And to borrow from a more secular concept, right, the government serves the people. The king does not own the people. The king is a servant of the people. True, he has to be treated with great respect and esteem. But the king doesn't own the people. And David HaMelech made himself, at that moment, the Ramban seems to be suggesting, David HaMelech made himself like a secular king, that he owns his subjects, they're his lives. And this is a problem. You know, we talk about in the 12 steps, in step 3 of the 12 steps, we say that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. So, you know, there's an idea that even though we live in this world and we have great responsibilities, but we have to think of our responsibilities in terms of stewardship, in terms of that we are shomrim, that we have to watch and protect and honor the life that's given to us, and maybe even the people that we're responsible for, like the members of our family. I have to tell you, over the years, from time to time, someone would see one of my children. Baruch Hashem, sometimes they're very cute or charming, or they say something intelligent or whatever, and someone maybe in shul will say, are these yours? And I would say, no, they're not mine. They're entrusted to me for a little while, but they don't belong to me. It's a strange thing when people talk about someone else's children and they say that they're yours. We don't own them any more than David HaMelech owned his subjects. Last week's parasha, in Perek Chaf Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Hashem says, Ha'aretz lo simacher letzmisus. The land will not be sold permanently. Ki li ha'aretz, because the land belongs to me. Ki geir v'soshav matemi modi. You are just strangers. You are just dwellers with me. Nothing belongs to you. Again, not that we don't have responsibilities and a role. We do. But it's a role of being a steward, of being a shomer. Now, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, on the Beis and Aleph, says something related to this, and we'll explain how we can use this same concept to explain that Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ein HaBracha Metzuya El B'davar HaSamui Min HaAyin. One cannot find blessing except in something that's hidden from the eye. Shenemar Yitzav Hashem Itcha Es HaBracha B'Asomecha. Now, the Pashur Shat in the Pasuk is, Hashem will command to be with you, the blessing in your sacks. Asamecha is like a sack. But also, samui, it's a play on words. Samui means hidden. So, ba'asamecha, in your hidden things. So, Tanzavei Rabbi Shmuel, ein habracha metzuya el v'davar she'ena ein shalatis bo. So, there's no bracha except by something that the eye cannot watch. Shenemar, etc. So, Tanur Rabbanon, aholach lamad es garno, someone who goes to measure his this is the the wheat that he gathered. Omer Yiratzim Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu. You know, you say this tefillah that Hashem should give a bracha in your Masi Yadayim. But that's before you measure it. Then they say Hiska Lamud. Let's say you start to measure. Omer Baruch Hashleich Bracha B'Krizeh. Now you can't daven anymore that Hashem should send a bracha, but you give a blessing of thanks. Blessed is the one who gives a bracha in this kli. Modar V'Acher Kach Birich Harezet Filashav. If you measured and afterwards you made a bracha, it's useless. Fishin a bracha mitzuyah lo b'davar ashakov, lo b'davar hamodud, lo b'davar hamodoy, lo b'davar samim in ayin. Because you can't have a bracha by anything that's counted or measured. It has to be something that's hidden. So actually, let me correct myself. At the time that you're measuring, present tense, you can say, blessed be Hashem, who sends his bracha. It's present tense, so you still can say it. But after you measured, you can't say anything. There's nothing to pray for anymore, because there will be no bracha anymore once you counted the numbers. So, the point being, what is the point? Why is the bracha not found on something that is revealed, and only things that are hidden, there's a bracha. So the Marsha says it's ayin hara. There are problems with that because it sounds like even if you're counting to yourself, there wouldn't be a bracha. So there shouldn't be ayin hara, only when it's between yourself. Ayin hara is other people's reaction to your wealth. Taras Chaim says that a nes happens a lot of times beseser, that's covered for a nes. Lo b'chayov, lo b'kloakim b'ruchi, the things that happen sometimes of great spiritual events, they happen often in a hidden way. The Marsha quotes the pasuk by Elisha with the woman who was starving and the oil came miraculously to Malachim. Perek Dalet, Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, and it says over there, Elisha instructs her to close the door. Elisha instructs her to close the door because a great miracle is going to happen. It has to happen b'tznias. However, those are the pshatim that others say. But I think that in light of what we were talking about today, you could also understand that when you're not paying attention to the numbers, so then there's less of a chance for kochi v'otzam yadi. You're not thinking to yourself that kochi v'otzam yadi also is a chayel hazos, that it's mine, I own it, it's my thing. Once you remove yourself from that and you treat yourself merely as a shomer, merely as somebody who's involved in the process, who's watching the process, but is not actually the owner of it, so then there's an allowance for more spiritual shefa to come in, because we know that basically physicality and spirituality are kind of like oil and water, or matter and antimatter. They don't exist on the same plane. So when there's more gashmias, there's less ruchnias. When there's more ruchnias, there's less gashmias. So When a person removes himself from the picture, removes his desires, his drives, his ego, he's making room for the kol demoma daka, the quiet, still voice of spirituality and ruchnius to enter into his life, into his possessions, and such. And so the reason possibly why there's no bracha on things that you count as opposed to things that are hidden is because it's an exercise in self-discipline to remove your sense of ownership and your sense of pride from the situation. And by doing so, it allows more bracha to come in. Now, I have to tell you, from time to time, I have a terrible yetzahara to find out how many people listen to the shir. And up until I did this Ramban, I knew deep down that it wasn't good midos, so I only indulged in it twice. We've been doing this shir for now, maybe three quarters of a year or whatever. And I knew, I had a sense that it wasn't the proper thing, because it's not my place. If one person comes to the shir, or 10 people come to the shir, or 20, the point is, if it's valuable, which it would seem that it is, because the concepts are valid and there's something to say, and at least one person calls in, so somebody's learning, or even if nobody calls in, at least I'm learning, it's worth doing. But I really had a yetzahara, so twice I did find out how many people called in. But I had a sense I was doing the wrong thing. I had a sense I was betraying my soul for this hanah. And the truth is, this Ramban suggests very powerfully that such behavior is problematic. True, it's a subtle point, but it's problematic because, it's ownership versus stewardship. Torah belongs to everybody. The fact that I've had this opportunity to learn and share some insights. So I'm a steward. I'm a shomer. I'm providing. I'm sharing something that doesn't belong to me with others who it belongs to. But to start thinking that it's important how many people come to this year, and then I start becoming an owner, and it really doesn't belong to me, even whatever intellectual abilities that I have, whatever they are. They also don't belong to me. So the whole concept of ownership versus stewardship is extremely valuable. And in a moment, I'm going to explain more how that relates to Shmiras Ayinayim and how that relates to different compulsive sexual behavior. But I want to add, it's an important sidebar, which is that the fact that you are a steward, the fact that you're a shomer, and the fact that Ein bracha metzuya el bedavar shesomli min ha'ayin, that blessing doesn't come except on things that you don't count, is not an excuse for being irresponsible with finances, because I see people rationalize that, and that's simply not an excuse, and it's pashut why, because budgeting and being careful with your finances has to do with measuring how much money goes out, and having discipline and having a plan as to how much money you spend. That's very different than counting and measuring the money that comes in. So the money that comes in, Enochanami, really, it's very appropriate and very proper to not measure and count, as the Ramban suggests, and as the Gemara suggests, that's the right way to do it, that it's up to Kosh Baruch how much money you make, of course, when you make appropriate ishtavlos. We're not talking about not making appropriate ishtavlos, but even when you make your ishtavlos, lav dafka that you have to count how much money you have. But that's very different than budgeting. Budgeting is a thought that it's really only appropriate to spend a certain amount of money. You have an impression that this is what you could afford, and you stick with that plan. It's very different. Savings too. There's no problem in savings. Maybe again, you could argue that it's spiritually appropriate not necessarily to count the savings, but to say I'm going to save X number of dollars a month, that's being ro'as and olad. That's a very important thing to do. If people don't save money, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, and they're going to end up chas v'shalom needing tzedakah. There's too many times in life where emergencies happen. So I feel it's important to clarify because, unfortunately, a lot of people do mismanage money. There's a lot of yetzahara around that, and credit cards are great enticements and perhaps another addiction. But the point is that there are two different things. Monitoring your spending versus monitoring how much money you've saved are two very different things. But getting back to the concept, I think that what happens, right, for all of us when we enter into a state where we feel tired, when we feel aroused, is that we approach our bodies and we approach the people in our lives, as if we own them. And because we own them, we feel entitled to something. And that sense of ownership is the beginning of the distorted thinking that makes us more susceptible to our taivas. We have to think of our bodies and our souls like a leased car. Some people buy cars, some people lease cars, right? So, there's advantages to each approach, which even though before I was giving financial advice, I'm going to hold back on financial advice about car leases. But the fact of the matter is, everybody knows if you lease a car, you have a big achrayas, because the whole model is built on the fact that the car company is going to get back the car with a relatively small amount of mileage, whatever you agreed on contractually, and the car is going to be in good condition, so they could resell it. So basically, the leasing companies, they make a killing because they lease the car to you, and you pay almost half the value of the car, and then they sell the car for much more than half of the value because it's in good condition. So we have to look at our bodies and our souls as if they're on lease to us. We have no right to put excessive wear and tear or mileage on our souls or on our bodies. We have to take care of our health. We have to take care of our spiritual health. And that the concept of getting out of the place of ownership, which is a very willful and stubborn place, versus understanding that we're shomrim, and in a certain sense, maybe even we should understand that we're shutfim, that we're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're entrusted with something. He has an iska with us. He has a business deal with us. I give you this. You try to make it work. And we have to do the best that we can, but it doesn't belong to us. And when we get into a state of taiva and arousal and greed, part of it's coming from a sense that all this belongs to us, that we can have it, and that if you can help enter into that third step of turning ourselves over to the will of God and understanding that we are stewards, not owners, I think it's an important mentality, an important frame of mind to help us in many, many spiritual and actually material pursuits. Hold on, I'm going to shut off the recording. But I'm having some technical difficulty here. Let me see what I can do.